Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Well, today we are concluding our series on successfully sowing. This is part number four. Now, don't worry, in case you just had a moment of terror and you said, wait, part number four? I didn't get part number one, two, or three. Well, today's message does stand on its own, and you're going to get something from God today. Also, we will review to keep you caught up with right where we're at. But I would encourage you to go online and get a hold of the first three messages, because they will bless you and they will build in your life some godly principles that will expand into what you're going to learn about today. Remember, we've been in this series in Galatians chapter number 6 in the context of blessing those that have instructed us, talking about financial things. He says this in verse number 7. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Galatians 6:8 goes on to say, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Verse number 9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. We started talking about the application of these verses to our finances, even though they go much beyond financial things. We're sowing in our words and in our actions every day, every moment of our life. But when it came to our finances, we said this, that we have to sow financially God's way, showing honor to God with what we have. And we need to sow where we want to reap from, remembering that environments matter. We got to find the good ground to sow into and have the right heart and strength, because generosity is a heart condition. But not only from our heart, but also we need to have the right plan in our giving. And so today, Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10, we're going to conclude with this. And it says this, therefore, in other words, because of everything we've already talked about, everything that was just said, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I want to remind you that we said that what you sow is important, where you sow is important, and how you sow is important. But the principle that I see in Galatians 6:10 for us today is this: when you sow is important. Some of you guys have a backyard garden that you plant seeds in, and you go to the store and you buy those seed packets. On those seed packets, they give you a picture of what the fruit or the vegetable is that you're going to be growing, and you flip that packet over, and you might see a little map. Maybe it's a map of the United States. It's colorful. It's got different zones and different things like that on it. But many times, it'll tell you if you're in these zones, based on the color that your area is in, that you should plant in these months. It might say that here in California, because of the dry climate, you need to plant these seeds in the springtime. So, you know, May, June, or July, you need to have these seeds planted in the ground, because they're going to go under that ground, and through the summer, they're going to produce into the late summer, into the harvest time in the fall. Maybe the people in the Midwest, though, they might need to back that thing up a little bit more and maybe not plant so early and push it more into the summer, because their climate is different. But for all of us, there is a time that seed needs to be sown, because it's going to produce. In fact, there are appropriate times to plant seeds that maximize the potential of growth. And I believe that in your life, you want to maximize your investment. You want to maximize the thing that you sow. No one sows hoping to get nothing back. No, they sow because they want to reap. And therefore, we need to understand the appropriate times to plant seeds so that we can maximize the potential of the things that we're sowing. And really, it depends on the type and the development of the seed. Let me say that again. It depends on the type and the development of the seed. Now, we'll expand on what that means as we go through the message today. I believe that God is going to talk to you about the type of seed that you're sowing. But here's what it comes down to, is that there are seasons for sowing. There is a season to sow, and there's a season to reap. But we need to understand that there are seasons for sowing. Everybody wants a harvest. Everybody loves the harvest. But if you're going to have a harvest, that means there is a time that you have to sow. You need to know the season that you're in. And it was God himself who placed this principle in the earth. Think about this for a second. Genesis chapter 8. Turn there with me. Right there at the beginning. Here's God speaking to Noah and to his sons as they come out of the ark. God has just flooded the earth for the wickedness that's been on the planet. Now, before this time, we know that God had planted a garden. What kind of garden does God plant? Think about that for a second. You've been to some botanical gardens. You've been in some places where you thought, oh, look how beautiful. Maybe it's your neighbor's lawn. You're like, how do they get their grass so green? What kind of garden does God plant? Think about just the beauty of that place. And the Bible says that God had his own irrigation system. There was mist that would come up out of the ground every morning. Some of you guys have been to places where you can see that misty kind of haze hanging over the ground. Every morning, God had his own irrigation. Well, it says that in the floodgates of the earth opened up, and the water that was under the earth came gushing out and flooded the land. This is probably when Pangaea went into all these different places and Atlantis fell into the Atlantic Ocean. I'm just kidding. I'm just making sure you guys are paying attention, all right? Genesis chapter number 8, God does something new. And in it, he says this, verse number 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Notice he says sowing and reaping. As long as you're on the planet, there's a season. What is it? Seed time, that's a season. And harvest, that's another season. Cold and heat, we call those things winter and summer, don't we? We'll look at the next one, winter and summer. And day and night shall not cease. He says this is something that's going to be perpetually going on while the earth remains. Now, there will come a day that the earth itself is destroyed, not with water, but with fire. But until that day, something's happening. There is a seed time and there is a harvest. We need to know this season that we're in. We need to understand that there is a time that we need to go out there and we need to sow. I love the fact that God calls it seed time. See, there's a time that seed to be sown, and it's important to know what that time is. So let me ask you this question. What time are you in? What season are you in right now? Some of you guys have been in a season of reaping, but are you in a season of sowing? And if so, what is that timing? What does that look like? What investments do you need to be making right now? Because we all need to understand this, that sowing is future-focused. See, in our society, we've gotten so accustomed to getting everything right now. It's 30 seconds or it's free. Pizza's delivered in under 30 minutes or you get a free pizza. We get video and music and entertainment on demand. I demand entertainment right now. And if something's lagging, if something doesn't come right away, what's wrong with the Wi-Fi, right? We're out there messing with stuff. We're calling the company. Someone needs to get out here because this is so slow. I don't understand why it's so slow. And it's like, guys, it's going to space. Give it a minute. It takes time to get all the way up to that satellite and back down to your house. It's going through the airwaves. You don't even walk across the house and think, why did it take me so long to get here? But we expect that entertainment. I want it now. And God says, hey, if you're sowing, you can't have it now. What did God say in Genesis chapter number 8, verse 22? Seed, time, and harvest. There's a little time in the middle of that. There's a season for seed time. There's a season for sowing. But then you have to wait while God develops it under the ground. God produces a plant that comes up and while the fruit comes through. But then when it does, there's a harvest. We need to understand that sowing is future focused. Let me show this to you in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes right after the Psalms and Proverbs, you'll find Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. I'm going to read some verses that some of you older people are going to start singing a song in your head. Okay? And it might have turn, turn, turn in the midst of those lyrics, okay? But that's not in the Bible, all right? You say, Pastor Dan, how do you know that song? Because I was raised by hippies, that's why. I knew it all. But look at what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and starting verse number 1. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Notice the first thing that he points out. He says, a time to be born and a time to die. All of us. We're born. I know, it's rocket science this morning. I'm sorry. Sorry, it's so difficult. But all of us, should Jesus tarry, someday are going to die. The statistic is still the same. 100% of the people that are born on the planet are going to die. They die. That's just how it is. That's how it works. Even Jesus died. He was raised again to life. But all of us have to pass through death. So he says there's a time, there's a season of birth, but there's also a season of death. Now look at this next one. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. There is a time for sowing, and there's also a time for reaping. And we need to understand the season that we're in. We need to understand the moment that we're living in, and that when we sow, it's future-focused. I'm sowing for the future. I wonder if anybody knows when the best time to plant a tree is. Anybody know the answer to that? Okay, I heard the right answer. I heard a couple of other answers. Pastor Teresa, our Bible college director, said the right answer 20 years ago is the best time to plant a tree. I might have Pastor Teresa be silent for this next one. Anybody know the second best time to plant a tree? Right now. Right now. Why? Because it's future focused. I remember we had some friends. We both bought a house at the same time. Our house had some great grass. It had great trees in the backyard. All we had to do was set up the little playground set for the kids. But our friends, they didn't have any backyard, and so they did something. They had grass on demand, right? They just rolled it all out, the sod, right? No seed, just roll out the grass, right? Instant backyard, okay? Put some pavers down, they were good to go. But what they didn't get was an instant tree. So they bought this, like, little sapling thing, and they planted it in the ground. Now, my friend, he said, I want the tree to give us afternoon shade. It's going to get really big, and it's going to have these big leaves on it, and it's going to provide shade for the house so that it doesn't get hot in the summer. I want my kids to be able to climb the tree. I want to have fun up there. I want a rope swing, this and that. I want this massive tree. And I'm looking at the tree. I'm going, that little thing? Really? Because it doesn't look like much right now. But he had this picture of this huge tree. Now, he lived in that house for about a decade. And by the time he moved out of that house, I remember going to that backyard, and that tree was massive. In fact, they had to cut boughs off the tree. It was so big. They had the rope swing for the kids to play on. They had big, I'm talking big leaves, right? Not those little leaves, big leaves like this big. And it was beautiful shade in the afternoon. Why? Because a decade ago, he planted a tree there. And it grew up to be something that their family enjoyed for years. See, in our lives, we need to understand, what do I want to see in my future? What is the picture on the package that I'm looking for? Is it a good marriage? Is it children growing up and serving the Lord? Is it a prosperous business? Is it a witness that reaches into people's lives? Is it a ministry that God has given? What is that picture on the seed packet that you're sowing for? Listen, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take seed, time, and eventually there will be a harvest that looks like that picture that you see inside. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 in the New Living Translation, the Apostle Paul is talking about an offering that he was coming to receive. And he gives them instruction. He says, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you've earned. Notice he says there's a time to do this. There is a seed time. Set it aside on the first day of each week. Now look at what he says in the second sentence. Don't wait. Don't wait until I get there to try and collect it all at once. In other words, there is a season for sowing, and we need to understand the opportunities that are being presented to us on a daily basis. And the time to sow is now. God says it's future focused, because you will not reap a harvest if you never sow anything. So we need to understand the season that we're in. See, let's apply this to our lives for a second. The time to sow seed for your retirement is not a year or two before you retire. It's 30, 20 years up until you retire. That's when you start that. Single people, you say, I want to have a pure marriage. Then sow purity now. Listen, don't just save your virginity for marriage. Save your purity for marriage. Sow purity into your future. Why do you get so quiet? Come on. Some single people in this place can't say amen. Pastor's talking about sex. Oh my gosh. Let's talk about it. Because if you want to sow into your marriage, you don't start when you get married. You start as a single person. Start sowing now. Start sowing purity now. Be the person of God that you need to be for your future spouse now. Don't wait until you're married. That's too late. Start it now. Be the person of God now. So that when God brings you together, guess what? You're ready. You've already sowed, and now you're going to reap in your marriage. How about having a good relationship with your adult children? Some of you guys have little kids. You want great adults. You don't want to sow that into them? Now. Don't wait until they're adults to teach them about money, to teach them about being polite, to teach them discipline. Some people are not disciplining their kids, and then they expect their young adults to grow up and be sound of mind. Listen, they're going to be crazy or lazy, one of the two. And if you don't want crazy or lazy adults, then you got to sow that into them as children. Hey, mama's not cleaning your room for you. You clean up. Right? Now, they may not be able to spray the you know, window cleaner and all that kind of stuff. They may not be able to get up on a ladder and, you know, dust and all that kind of stuff. You can do that for them until they get big enough. Hello? I heard of parents doing their kids' projects at school. You know you're not helping them. You have become ChatGPT to them. Mama, give me a project. I need a California mission made out of sugar cubes. Oh, okay, honey, I'll go get that for you. And you're there gluing sugar cubes together rather than letting them glue the sugar cubes together. One of the things I'm so grateful that my parents did was they said, no, you do your project. I'm not doing it for you. I remember one time I took my car over to my dad's house. We had changed brakes before, and he did the brakes for my car. I took my car over to my dad's house one time as a young adult, and he said, all right. I said, all right. He said, no, no, no. All right. I said, all right. He said, you're not getting it, kid. I'm done doing breaks. I said, wait, what? He says, I'm here to help if you need me. I said, all right. So I started getting into it. I didn't know what to do. I said, Dad, help. He said, all right, do this. I said, you're not going to get in here and do it? No, you do it. I was there changing the brakes. See, it helps. Now you know what I do? I pay someone to change my brakes. Come on, somebody. I learned. Praise the Lord. See, some of you might be saying, Pastor, my kids are grown. We're estranged. They don't like me. Before I was saved, I was a rascal. I've got an encouragement for you. Remember, the time to sown your kids was when they were young. That time may have passed, but the second best time is right now. See, but we're not even connected. We don't talk. They hate my guts. I was mean. I was rude. I was drunk. I was on drugs. I was strung out. I was in prison. I didn't have anything to do with them. They don't want to have anything to do with me. What do I do with that? Well, start sowing prayers into their life. On their birthday, send them a card. I don't care if they reject it. Send them something. Reach out on Christmas. Say Merry Christmas. It's simple. It's easy. Just to let them know that you're there. Then they say, I don't want to give them a Merry Christmas. I don't want to talk to them. But you keep sowing. Here's the reason why I say this, because we had a man by the name of Ron that came to our church. He was an usher. He sat on this side of the sanctuary. Ron would run up and down the aisles. I remember he was an older man, and he said, I can run faster. I could beat any man in a foot race. I was like, oh, really, you know? And he beat some of our pastors in foot races because they were crazy enough to challenge him to it. Remember he came, told me, he said, Pastor, I'm pumping iron. He's an old guy, right? Pumping iron every night. Ron came and met with me in my office, and he told me with tears in his eyes, Pastor, I'm estranged from my kids. I haven't talked to some of them for over 20 years. And I love them so much, but they don't want to have anything to do with me. And I said, Ron, you need to pray for them. You need to just give it to God. You need to sow into their lives. You need to start, just send them a card on their birthday. Make sure they know that you're there. They don't want anything from me. I said, I know they don't want anything from you. Send it anyways. See, you're sowing, Ron. You're sowing. Just keep praying. Keep sowing. Keep believing God. You know that Ron, I remember one day we were in church right up this aisle. Ron brought someone to me. He said, Pastor, I want to introduce you to my daughter. She's here today from Nevada. I haven't seen her in over 20 years, but here she is now, Pastor. Ron has since gone on to be with Jesus, but before he passed, all of his kids he reconnected with. Some of them got saved right here at these altars. So you should have been raising your kids 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But if you didn't plant those seeds then, you know the next best time? Right now. Why? Because it's future focused. So you may not have the relationship you want right away, but if you start to sow, you're going to see things grow. You're going to see God move on that. See, the conditions within the season to sow may not always be ideal. In fact, they might be downright contrary. But not only is sowing future focused, sowing is faith focused. We got to understand this principle that this is not just an act of your will. It's not just an act of your mind. This is an act of your faith. When we talk about sowing, when we talk about generosity, when we talk about investing in something, there is a faith that I believe that I'm going to take this seed and put it into the ground. And even though it goes out of my sight, I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by faith. And I believe that God is going to put power in that seed to start to grow and start to mature. And something's going to push through. There's going to be a breakthrough. Mountains are going to be moved so that seed can put forth the fruit that it brings. You might be looking at an acorn right now, but I want you to get a picture in your heart of a great oak. You might be looking at a little teeny tiny seed, but I want you to get that mustard tree in your mind where the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Because God can put his supernatural power on the seed and bring dead things to life. We read this already in this series, but it's worth repeating. Ecclesiastes 11:4 in the New Living Translation says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Listen, the conditions may not be right. What about the economy? And what about my bank account? And what about the people? And what about their hard hearts? And what about the environment? Listen, stop looking around those things. Get the picture on the package in your mind. Get a verse, get a scripture that shows you your life in the future that says you can be blessed, you can be prosperous, you can have the relationship with your family that you want, you can have a great marriage, you can have a great witness, you can have a ministry for God. God wants to use you. And he says, get that picture and start to sow no matter what it looks like around you. It's an amazing story in the book of Genesis. Turn there once again, Genesis chapter number 26. Man by the name of Isaac, he's one of the patriarchs. It was Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Out of the three, Isaac is the one that you find the least doubt about. The Bible spends probably the least time on Isaac. He doesn't say too much. He doesn't do too much, but what he does do speaks loudly. In Genesis chapter number 26, if you read the first couple of verses, you'll find out that there was a famine where Isaac was. Famine means there's no food and there's no water. People are dying because they can't get the sustenance that they need. When there's a famine, people oftentimes go where there's not a famine. There's grain somewhere else, I'm going there. We've got to survive, we've got to eat. Oh, there's water over there, I'm going to go there because we've got to survive. And yet God appears to Isaac. He shows up and he starts talking to him. And look at verse number 3 of Genesis chapter number 26. It says this, God is speaking to Isaac. He says, dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you. Notice he's got a promise that if he does what God says, if he stays in the land, dwells in the land, he's got a promise of God's presence and of God's blessing. He says, I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to your Abraham, your father. Now, there's some shenanigans that happen in the rest of this chapter, okay? Isaac is a man just like you and me. He's got a nature just like ours. And so he doesn't do everything right. But even in that environment, even in that land of famine, God says, I want you to dwell here. And if you dwell here, I'll be with you and I'll bless you. Look at verse number 12. It says, then Isaac sowed in that land. Everybody say that land. What land was this? It was the promised land, right? But it was also the land that was experiencing a famine. It was that land, the famine land. Isaac sowed in that land. Isaac sowed in a famine land. No water, no food, no fruit production, but because God said, dwell in the land, Isaac said, well, if I'm dwelling here, then I'm sowing here. And Isaac sowed in that land. And it says, and reaped in the same year. Notice, there was a seed time, but there was another time that was coming, and that was harvest time. And it says, when harvest time came, he reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord did what? Blessed him. Why? Because Isaac had a promise. Isaac had a word from God. That Isaac, if you dwell in this land, then I will be with you and I will bless you. My presence will be with you, but the blessing of God is going to be on your life. And so Isaac said, if I've got a promise, then I've got a seed, and it's time to sow a seed. And when I sow that seed, then guess what? I'm dwelling in the land, and the promise of God will be applied to the seed. And God blessed him. And when the harvest time came, he reaped 100-fold. In your life, there's a seed time. You can't let it pass you by. Because when it comes time for the harvest, you need to have seed in the ground. God can't bless you when you don't do what he says. He will not bless disobedience, and he will not bless inactivity. It's only when we get going on what God says, dwell in the land. There's a seed time, and there's harvest. When you sow is important. I want to read to you a story from a missionary by the name of Del Tar. He writes, in Sahel, Africa, a vast stretch of savanna, more than 4,000 miles wide, just under the Sahara Desert. All the moisture comes in a four-month period, May, June, July, and August. After that, not a drop of rain falls for 8 months. The ground cracks from dryness, and so do your hands and feet. The winds of the Sahara pick up dust and throw it thousands of feet in the air, and then it comes slowly drifting across West Africa as a fine grit. Food for the year must all be grown in the four wet months. October and November are beautiful months. The granaries are full. The harvest has come. People sing and dance. They eat two meals a day. The wheat is ground between two stones to make flour, and then they make it a mush with the consistency of cream of wheat. The sticky mush is eaten hot. They roll it into little balls between their fingers, drop it into a bit of sauce, and then pop it into their mouths. The meal lies heavy on their stomachs so they can sleep. December comes. The granaries start to recede. Many families omit the morning meal. Certainly by January, not one family in 50 is still eating two meals a day. By February, the evening meal diminishes. The meal shrinks even more during March, and the children succumb to sickness. You don't stay well on half a meal a day. April is the month that haunts my memory. In it, you hear the babies crying in the twilight. Most of the days are passed with only an evening cup of gruel. Then, inevitably, it happens. A 6 or 7-year-old boy comes running to his father with sudden excitement. Daddy! Daddy! We've got grain, he shouts. Son, You know we haven't had grain for weeks. Yes, we have, the boy insists. Out in the hut where we keep the goats, there's a leather sack hanging up on the wall. I reached up and put my hand down there, Daddy. There's grain in there. Give it to Mommy so that she can make flour, and tonight our tummies can sleep. The father stands motionless. Son, we can't do that, he softly explains. That's next year's seed grain. It's the only thing between us and starvation. We're waiting for the rains, and then we must use it. The rains finally arrive in May, and when they do, the young boy watches as his father takes the sack from the wall and does the most unreasonable thing imaginable. Instead of feeding his desperately weakened family, he goes to the field, and with tears streaming down his face, he takes the precious seed and throws it away. He scatters it in the dirt. Why? Because he believes in the harvest. The seed is his. He owns it. He can do anything with it he wants. The act of sowing hurts so much that he cries. But as the African pastors say when they preach on Psalm 126, brothers and sisters, this is God's law of the harvest. Don't expect to rejoice later unless you have been willing to sow in tears. Church, do you believe in the harvest enough to sow with tears? Will you take the opportunity now that is before you? Remember, the Bible says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. It is important when we sow. We're going to take the opportunity now to sow in order that we may reap with shouts of joy. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, and let's just take a moment in the presence of God. Just ask this question of the Holy Spirit. Say, God, what are you speaking to me? And then listen for his voice. Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts today, God. Lord, I thank you for vision of a future, God, that we're sowing into now, where we don't look at the things that are around us presently. We don't look at circumstances, situations, or surroundings. We look at the picture that you're giving us. From our hearts, God, we give in faith, knowing that even if we sow in tears, God, that we will reap with shouts of joy and celebration. And for that, God, we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, we're all in agreement. We say amen and amen. Can we give the Lord a praise today? Well, like we said at the top of the service, being that it's our birthday, we do a very special thing this weekend, and that is that we have two offerings. And this second offering is not compulsory. It's not an obligatory offering. This is not something that you have to participate in, okay? This is your free will choice. And we've given you guys the opportunity. We've been telling you about this beforehand because we didn't want it to catch anybody by surprise. That's why for the past 4 weeks and even beyond, we talk about the miracle birthday offering that's going to be taking place at our birthday so that no one says, well, I didn't know. You know, hey, we've been telling you, all right? That's why we gave out the yellow envelopes last weekend, was so that you would know in advance and be able to pray and do whatever God tells you to do. Now, if you're here today and you say, I got my miracle birthday offering, but you're not tithing, I would encourage you, hey, take that offering and tithe. You know what I mean? Like, calculate 10% of your income, start tithing. Because if you start tithing, it won't be long before you're blessed and before you're bringing an offering, all right? I'd much rather you start tithing and get in that position to receive the blessing of God than just bring a one-time offering and think that that's okay. You know, it's okay. You can do that, but why not get the blessing of God? And why not move forward into generosity and what God has for you so that next year when the birthday offering comes around, you'll say, man, I've got so much. Look at what God has done in my life. Now, as we sow, what are we sowing towards? We're sowing towards our future. Sowing towards this house, this great house for 37 years, we've seen hundreds of thousands of people walk our aisles. This year, we've had an emphasis on discipleship. We've seen those materials go forth. Now they're in English, Spanish. They're being translated in Korean and German as we speak. Those things are ongoing projects that we've seen. There's many things that are taking place here at The Rock. We're sowing towards our community being reached for Jesus. Sowing towards the ongoing ministries. Even just recently, this past week, we closed on a property right adjacent to our church property that we have, the resource center that's out there. We got those little sports fields in the back, and I know some of you guys have been frustrated. Why don't they have a big field? Well, the reason why, we don't have room for it, right? And so we just purchased the property right next to it. It used to be a truck parking place. I'm so thankful that one less truck parking place is in our neighborhood, right? I'm like, I'm done, you know, waiting for these guys to pull out or to pull in or whatever it is, you know, and they yelled at one of our members. I was so mad. I was like, man, don't let me out there. But we bought that, And we bought it adjacent to our resource center because we're going to expand that field and have a full-size field for the kids, but as well as for the adults. Some of you guys like playing a sports league. And so you say, well, that's superficial. That's not reaching people for Jesus. Isn't it, though? Because some people won't come to church, but they'll come to their grandson's game. And then they go, wow, is that the church? I wonder what a service is like. It happens all the time. We had people that came to this church because of the sports leagues. And so it's another community outreach. It's something to get people in godly relationships as well, which is one of the pillars of this church. Speaking of the Resource Center, I'd love to see that become a storefront. Glass windows, big, racks and all that for people to take a look at the clothes and get the things that they have need of. I'd love to see dressing rooms and even showers for the homeless and to help people get a leg up in life, help them to go out and get a nice suit and tie so that they can go and they can interview well. Community outreach. I'd love to see that happen. We've got some properties across the street. We've got our bus yard, all that kind of stuff. We've got some area that we can put things like that down. Another one of our goals is to get La Roca back to Sunday mornings. They're going to be at 1:30 today, and they're killing it. They're doing so good. I tell you, Pastor Paul and Tracy are such great leaders. They're such wonderful men and women of God. And the team that puts that service together, Pastor Vladimir, Pastor Aaron, I mean, all these guys are just amazing. But I would love to see them back on Sunday mornings. So we need another building. We need something down at the end of the courtyard. I'd love to see one of those false front buildings that has like the tent on the back, you know, one of those sprung instant structures. That's the name of the company. And I'd love to see like an amphitheater off the front of that so we can do some outdoor church services and things that's always set up down there at the end of the courtyard. It's going to take an investment. It's going to take time. But what am I doing? I'm showing you the seed package, right? There's some vision for what we're going to do here at The Rock. With that, there's some other things that we have need of here, too. Your miracle offering helps us to make repairs and upgrades on the building. We need to do our roof, about $2.2 million for that. As well, we do have one of the children's, one of the chillers. We didn't replace the children's, okay? We replaced the children's pastors. But children's, now I can't even say it, right? Chiller systems. We've replaced one of them. We need to replace the other one. That's about $450,000. Listen, we're not tripping. God's got it, right? What is that to him? How about this one? This is year five we're going into. Year five of the Free in Five campaign, all right? And we've been saying we want to be free in five with this mortgage. Now, the mortgage is not where we needed to be or where we thought we'd be if we were paying it down on track to pay it off in this last year. We're about halfway to our goal, but we're four-fifths of the way through the campaign. And so, you know, that could be discouraging. We could look at that thermometer thing and say, well, why is it still so high? But here's my thing. What can God do in a year? See, get a picture. I want you to get a picture of this. What is that? A donut. No, it's not a donut. It's a zero. I want to see our mortgage balance at a zero. Amen. Can you get that picture in your thinking? So we're currently at $3.1 million left on the mortgage. By the end of this year, if we keep going on the track that we're on, we'll be at in the twos. But I believe by the end of this year, when we celebrate our 38th birthday, I believe in the name of Jesus, God is paying this church off free and clear. What can God do? What's $3 million to God? Right? That's nothing. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Man, God can bring it to you so he can bring it through you. God wants to pay this church off. I believe that's something that's great that's going to happen this next year. I'm going to invite Pastors Donnie and Nicole to come up to the church service here on the platform and join me. You guys love Pastor Donnie and Nicole. They're our youth pastors here. Pastor Donnie had been with us as our IT guy for a number of years, and he went off to help launch the Rock Church in Riverside, and eventually that became Elevate Life Church under Pastors Tom and Heather Flores, great people, and I just love them so much, and they helped out with the youth, they helped out with the young adults, they helped out with Elevate Freedom, and I mean, they were associate pastors doing all the stuff, and man, they did everything, and just were faithful there, and God was stirring in them for a period of time, and I get this text message from Pastor Donnie, and he says, hey, Pastor Dan, would it be okay if we came back to The Rock? I said, first things first, you guys cool with Pastor Tom in heaven? They said, yes, absolutely. They prayed for us. They blessed us out, but we feel God stirring something in us. We want to come back to The Rock. So I said, absolutely, you're welcome. You know, and so they came and they sat. I remember I'm over here. Pastor Donnie and Nicole will be over here. And Pastor Donnie, he was here like five services a week some weeks, at least three. But, I mean, many times he'd be here five services a week. And I'm standing over there thinking, what is Donnie doing here? You know, like, okay, you know, for about 6 months, they just sat. We met with them. Everything was good. We could tell God was working in them and doing some things. And so we just said, all right, just sit, you know, get what God's doing in your life. Well, then Pastor Richard Villanueva, who was our youth pastor at the time, he came and said, hey, God's doing some things. I'm going to transition out. and going to teaching and some different things. I said, ah, okay, I know who I can bring up, you know. And so I had a meeting with them, and we made them our youth pastor. They've been doing a phenomenal job stirring up the youth, getting kids saved. And, man, just phenomenal. And you see this production and then the youth camp that's going on. Some great things are happening, continue to happen. And so they've been doing that. But when I was on sabbatical a couple years back, I remember I was sitting there having a quiet time and I was praying and just reading the word. And God spoke to my heart and he said, I want you to tell Pastor Donnie to go to Carson. And when he gets there, I want him to ask, what am I doing here? And I said, that's weird. I wasn't thinking about Donnie. I was thinking about, you know, my quiet time. I'm on sabbatical, God. I need you to speak to me. I got a word for him? What's that about? So I wrote it down, put a little note, and I promptly forgot about it. Forgot. I didn't remember. I remember I came home and, you know, we got back into the busyness of life and things that were here and leadership and all that kind of stuff and leading this great church. And one day I was looking through my notes trying to find something, and I see this note that says, tell Pastor Donnie to go to Carson, and when he gets there, ask me what I'm doing here. I said, what is this? I didn't even remember it. I said, God, what is this? And he said, don't you remember on sabbatical? And I went, oh my gosh. I had to repent. I was like, God, I'm so sorry that I didn't tell him this. So I called him all sheepishly on the phone, and I said, hey, Pastor Donnie, I just want to preface what I'm about ready to say by saying this. This is weird. But God told me while on sabbatical to tell you to go to Carson, and when you get there to ask him, what am I doing here? And he was like, okay. And so, Pastor Donnie, why don't you tell the rest of the story?
Well, first of all, it was kind of weird. I didn't know where Carson was. I knew of Carson City, Nevada, but Pastor Dan said, no, it's Carson, L.A. So my wife and I, we drove down there one day. It was the week of my birthday, and we drove down there. We're just driving around like, what are we doing here? And I'm going to be honest. I mean, I'm going to listen to the man of God and Pastor Dan, and I trust him. And I said, okay, we're here because God told him to tell us to go here. So we get down there, and we're driving around, and somehow we end up at the city hall. And my wife and I, we park the car, we get out, and we're just walking around, and it was a hot day, there was no wind, there was nothing going on. It was like, why are we here? So my wife grabs my hands, my beautiful wife grabs my hands, and says, God, Pastor Dan said to ask, why are we here? The moment she says that, the wind blows, and the Lord speaks and says, I want you to plant a rock church here in Carson, L.A.
Hey, the family's expanding. We want to see not only the Inland Empire, but Los Angeles shall be saved. So, Pastor Donnie, how can we sow? What can we do?
So there's a few ways you can connect with us. First one is this. I'm going to go ahead and put it up on the screen. You can scan that QR code. By the way, that's going to be our logo over there. You like the logo? Scan the QR code. There's three options there. One, just pray for us. We believe in the power of prayer, and we believe a church coming together, pray, and God moves. So if you can't do anything other than that, just pray and believe for us. The other one is this. Sow into what God's going to do. Sow into his kingdom, sow into building his house, an expansion of the Rock Church World and Outreach Center. Because it's going to be a beautiful thing, and I know God is going to do something with the Rock in L.A. like he's doing here in the Linden Empire. And the third way is this. You can connect with us by being part of a launch team, getting involved, helping build the church. Even if it's for a season, 2 months, 3 months, a month, I'll take a week, I'll take one weekend. But God's got to lead you to do that. And another way, if you have family or if you have friends that live out in that area, please let them know that the Rock Church is coming to that area and to LA and see LA be saved.
Amen. And well, we're so excited, and we will definitely make announcements as we get closer and as we get dates on a calendar and that sort of a thing. But this is just groundbreaking. This is just what God is doing right now. And we couldn't be more excited for you guys. Praise the Lord. Thank you guys so much. Some of you guys have prepared a miracle birthday offering. You already have the envelope. Some of you guys, your heart's been touched. You say, I want to give towards this. Our ushers are going to stand to their feet at this time. They have a yellow envelope available for you if you need that. You'd like to give into this. Also, we do have all the different digital ways to give, or if you want to make out a check, just put in the memo line MBO, Miracle Birthday Offering, and we'll make sure that this goes towards this great work and the seed that we're sowing into our future that helps us to continue to promote the kingdom of God in so many ways. And so we appreciate your gifts. We appreciate your heart to give, and we're grateful for anything. Again, this is not an obligation. You don't have to give. And if you are giving on your phone, but you still want to come up and like wave your phone over the trunk, like, I'm giving, you're welcome to do that. I seen people yesterday that did that. Someone had nothing in their hands. They went like this, you know. So whatever you want to do as a symbol of your giving. But we're going to sing. And as we sing, as the Lord touches your heart, why don't you just come forward with that envelope, that cell phone, whatever it is. I want you to just place that there in the treasure chest, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Can you stand to your feet? Let me bless you as we go. Father, I thank you for the people of God today, Lord. Thank you for 37 years of your faithfulness, God. Building a church, a house for your name, God. And these are your people called by your name, God. I thank you for every moment, for every life that's been touched, for every salvation, for every person that's walked these aisles, God. I thank you for every healing and every miracle, every sign and every wonder, God. I thank you for the redemption of the people in a broken city, God, in a dry and weary land. And yet, God, you chose to pour out your spirit on this place. And I thank you, God, you're not done. You're just getting started. And today, God, we're going to sow with tears, knowing that there's a day coming that we're going to reap and rejoice. And Father, I bless your people from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming, blessed going, that everything they put their hands to, they prosper. And with a great big shout about our area, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.